You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 98. I'm Dan Hammer.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week we have, well, we're pretty much going to talk about a tournament report. We had a big three tournament weekend here in San Diego. We had people from as far as, Santa Barbara came down, Los Angeles came down. We didn't have the fellow who was out from Louisiana this week. He had to fly back. But still, it was a multi-area event. We had nine people come out for 1E, which is
fantastic.
Yeah. We had two more people show up for the 2E tournament, so we had 11. And then a 12th person showed up for Tribbles. So we had 12 people at the conclusion of the night's event. It was awesome.
Yeah, it ended up being a lot of fun. We showed up at opening, and oddly, we're not the only people standing around waiting for Arby's to open at 10 o'clock.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody happier to get into Arby's than that guy who, maybe he needed to use a bathroom, I'm not sure.
I don't know, that was a lot, but yeah, you know, at least it didn't look like we were, you know, taking over the place. There were plenty of other people there who were excited to be at Arby's,
yes.
But not for the same reason.
We finally got underway at about, 10:15, 10:20.
Yeah.
The last of, I was hoping for a 10th person to show up for 1E, because something happened to me about a month ago. Nine people showed up and I watched, but Johnny had emailed me before the tournament and said, listen, I remember what happened last time. If an odd number of people show up, I'm running the event and you're playing. So...
I ended up playing Johnny in that, so how did that work out?
Well, I reminded him that we moved this tournament to this weekend so that he could play.
Yeah.
And so I gave him the bye in the first round, and I jumped in and played. So I got to play my interesting Dominion deck, which worked pretty well. I won my game. It was pretty close. I de-staffed... Chris Donati came down. He was one of the Santa Barbara players. He was playing Ferengi. Did you end up playing against him?
I did not.
Oh, too bad. That's one of the problems with having three tournaments in one day. They all have to be kind of three rounds, otherwise you're not going to do it. So
right.
With 10 people, you're not going to play the field.
Exactly. You're not going to know everything that's out there.
So in my one game, the idea behind my deck was after Life from Life came out, the two Wadi personnel, the non-aligned.
Yeah, sure.
One of them downloads an espionage card. So if you're playing Dominion, you can stay in the Gamma Quadrant and do a space mission, finally. Relatively. It turns out that I found an even better way to do it, and that was just to seed the Cardassian Treaty. And on the first turn, you space door to download a Galore ship, and then just support personnel every turn. Just dump in the Cardassians over and over again. So when you finally start attempting missions, you're pretty much half Founders, half Cardassians. I didn't use a single Jem'Hadar. Well, no, take that back. I used a single Jem'Hadar, the one who was not addicted to the white. I didn't have to worry about Ketracel White. I didn't have to worry about all my Dominion people. Most of them pre-reported. I had a lot of regular reports, more than I expected. And all the Cardassians just jumped in every turn to staff the Galore, fly around. I was able to start with, I think it's a primary supply depot. You can start with equipment. So I had... what was my third? I had two Plasmodyne relays, because it turns out that the missions in the Gamma Quadrant, they all have like span 5 and 6.
Really high span missions.
Yeah, it was obnoxious. But with the two Plasmodyne relays, the Galore is range of 12. So, okay, I don't care. That worked really well. I think my last one was, it had to be like a pad or something like that.
You used two Plasmodyne relays?
They're probably not cumulative, are they?
No, I was just going to say, that's the old folly 1E rule.
Yeah, you know what? This is the point where I reemphasize that a couple of days after the tournament, I realized how I was cheating.
cheating via ignorance.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah. I'm sure we've all done that a couple of times.
Yeah. I don't know, I feel bad. Sorry, Chris.
Well, at least you only had one victim.
Yeah, really. Sure. Yeah. I think I ended up de-staffing one of his marauders when he was out undocked to DS9, so he couldn't beam back to it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he would have had to wait till he staffed another ship, undocked it, beam over to the ship he wanted to, and it just took so long that I was able to finally get what I needed to solve those really, really hard, yes, hard Gamma Quadrant missions. It was fun. It was something that I've never played before. It was something that I've wanted to do since I saw that card, and it worked out pretty well.
I was I must say I was pretty intimidated when I found out you had Matt wanted to play and had asked you to build a deck for him, and then you sent me you emailed me with a list of cards saying, you know, Matt wants me to build him a deck, but I'm using most of these cards. Can you make a deck for him? Because, you know, we're playing the same affiliation. I was like, yeah, sure. And then I pulled up Dominion. It's like, not one, but two Dominion players. I'm like,
Yeah, and it was interesting because I didn't put in any kind of interaction. I was alone in the Gamma Quadrant. I wanted you to stay where you were, and I wanted to stay where I was. I felt like I was playing like a... Like a Delta Quadrant style deck where I've got my short space line. Well, they're all sixes, but I don't have to worry about too much. I don't have to worry about you bothering me, even though that would be a bad idea because I've got all these, you know, warships and all this other founders and, you know, big strength. The non-Geminar Dominion, a lot of them are pretty good strength. I didn't end up using a lot of Vorta because they didn't report for free. I used mostly the Changelings that did. And I used Temporal Micro Wormhole for Odo from What You Leave Behind.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I gave my opponent 5 points when he was about to die to Flapjacks once. That was great. But yeah, worked really well.
Wow, that's funny.
I managed to get the seeds down to 12, so I had my 3-card combos, which was really hard. There's just so many things there's so many things now I want to seed.
I agree. I was thinking about that earlier. We were talking about the time limit last week about how, you know, this game has evolved so much since it came out that it's not an hour long game anymore. And I think that might be the same thing. I think this game is not a 30 card seed game anymore. This is like a, you know, particularly with all the ref stuff to have to keep, you know, in check, you need 32, 34, you know, seed cards, or, you know, more than 12 seed cards to go more than, you know, 3-card dilemmas. It's rough to keep it down.
I neglected the Q the Ref pile. The Q the Ref, the Tribune of Q, I just left it all out. Didn't even bother.
Really?
Yep. I figured I didn't play with a tent. And I didn't play with Q the Ref.
Interesting.
Yeah, everything was in the deck, and since everything was in the deck, I didn't want to do any Q the Ref stuff. And I figured, you know what? I'm just gonna see how it goes. If it's out there, perhaps people will not be trying anything anyway, and I'll get away with it. And if people are trying something, I'm hosed anyway. By the end of the first turn, all of my hidden agendas were face up, so it was even obvious I wasn't hiding anything.
Wow.
But luckily, I don't think Chris played anything that I think he might have played a Traveler, but I don't think I could have. I don't think I copied that. So
that's interesting because I actually did the exact opposite. I played this. This was the second time I was playing this deck in OTF, and I had the first time I tried it. I just tried it as is with just a handful of ref cards and not too intense because I really liked it. It's my my Terran Empire Mirror Quadrant deck, and you know, it's really slim and really fast, and I really got hosed by a couple of things the last time I played it, not having some ref cards in. So I kind of did a little minor overhaul. It was bigger than I really wanted it to be, stacked up to almost 60 cards with all the ref stuff in it. And, you know, I had to keep track of more than three bad probes, which I know you know. I basically have my three ships in the deck, and everything else is a good Dabo probe.
Right.
But in order to keep up, you know, I had to stock in some incidents and objectives and, you know, all these ref cards that, excuse me, I really didn't want to have. I've been modifying my deck more and more so that I don't have to be as very little interaction as possible. You know, I mentioned previously I playtested against TK, and I instead of using the wormhole so that, you know, anybody can just come through the wormhole and start interacting with me, which I really don't want, I was using there's only three Mirror Quadrant missions, so my other three missions were all Alpha Quadrant Bajor region missions, so that I can use the multidimensional transporter device to just beam back and forth. And
you were using that pretty like a lot.
Yeah, well, I tried it just with a neutral outpost and a space door, so I could get a ship out there and do my space mission, and then real quick, and then hole up in the Gamma Quadrant after that. And just do my planet missions and Dabo and bonus points and everything. And I got tested it once against Thomas, and he blew up my outpost. So I actually had to, I ended up winning, oddly enough, because I had to go to, but I had to go to 140 to do it. Luckily, he had a Horta there to kill my people so I could keep adding cards to my discard pile and Daboing them away. But after I spent all this time focusing my deck to be, like, anti-interaction, I ended up interacting more with this deck than I ever have, if you don't count the times I've played against Thomas's KCA deck.
Right. Yeah, because, let's see, let me see if I can rebuild what you did. You seeded the Hawking Council, which lets you seed the Enterprise, the ISS Enterprise.
Yep.
You special downloaded Kirk.
Yep.
Then you used a space door on your neutral outpost in the regular quadrant, the Alpha Quadrant, Bajor region, to get a Alliance interceptor.
Correct.
And then you use the multidimensional transporter device to beam Kirk after he traveled through the temporal vortex to the Alpha Quadrant. Special downloaded the Tantalus field onto the Alliance interceptor, and then flew around killing people. But at the end of your turn, you ended up docked and had all your people beamed back to the Mirror Quadrant so they couldn't be messed with.
Almost always, yes.
That's ridiculous.
There were a couple of times where I couldn't get back to my outpost, but luckily I have the regular Quark in there to special download the small cloaking device.
Jeez. So even if I had a mind to stop you from killing my people, you just cloak.
Yeah. And it's not considered a combat or battle or anything. So the other card that I just threw in to try and build on my draw engine, the 35th rule of acquisition, was still good. Good to go.
Oh, peace is good for business. Yeah, because you were silently killing people.
Exactly. I could throw that on Morn.
It's not. It doesn't say assassination is good business.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really rough. We I think we sat, Johnny and I sat for a while trying to figure out how that could possibly be legal.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
And it's not even you know, it's I was using it more as a surgical strike. You know, I took out Morn, or I would take out First Minister Shikar, to get rid of your card draws or get rid of your extra card plays or whatever. But I didn't want to burn through too much of my deck. It's not really, you know. As I said, this deck is the smallest draw deck I've ever made for any game. and, you know, there's not a lot. Until I've completed all my missions, I don't really want to burn through too much of my deck.
If I had showed up with a Borg deck, I couldn't keep the Queen in play. I couldn't keep Locutus in play.
That is true. Well, I mean, that's if you're in the Alpha Quadrant near the Bajor region, then I could come after you.
Sure.
I could get to eventually. But honestly, I honestly didn't even think about it until I was there, and I was like, I had Kirk out, and I was like, oh, I've got Kirk. I should download the Tantalus Field. I was like, well, there's nobody here in the Mirror Universe for me to kill. There's no reason for me to play it on the Enterprise here. But I am beaming back and forth to the Alpha Quadrant. I could probably put it on that Interceptor. That'd be really funny. And I could take out his Morn and slow him down a little bit. And, I mean, I honestly threw in DS9 in my deck, too, with two sites, just to get the cargo bay so that I could download Morn and then beam him to my Mirror Quarks bar.
Right.
And it wasn't until I was doing that and getting Kirk out that I was like, oh, I could go back over there and take, not only keep mine, but make you lose yours.
Yeah, that it just strikes me as the unlimited beaming from quadrant to quadrant. So as long as you have a ship in the Alpha Quadrant, you no longer need ships pretty much, I mean, in the Mirror Quadrant, right? Because you can beam from wherever you are to the ship in the Alpha Quadrant, and then that from that ship to somewhere else.
But the Gamma, the Mirror Quadrant, it has to be same region to same region, and there's only one Bajor region mission in the Mirror. They're not all Bajor region.
Okay.
So you still need to get around to go do your other planet missions if you do more than one mission.
But if you did it the other way around, if you had one ship in the Mirror Quadrant and you were doing Alpha Quadrant Bajoran missions, you could just hop around all day.
Exactly. If I, you know, if I got more than one ship, I could just put a ship at each mission. I'd never have to move them. I just bounce around.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you know the answer to this riddle and what we're missing, please send an email to section31@danhemp.com because I do not want to face this in the next round.
No, what you don't want to face is the next logical step of it, which is instead of what I do is using the emblem to make all your mirror people work with all the Ferengi, take out the Ferengi and throw in all the Bajoran alpha people and all the Bajoran mirror people, and they can all work with all the Fed people. It doesn't matter that they're Alliance or KCA, because I've got a Bajoran Federation treaty.
Yeah.
You can play them on both sides. You can use the Chamber of, you know, Chamber of Ministers and the HQ and the Halkin Council and First Minister Shikar. You can have Morn on either side. You know.
That's a lot of...
Yeah,
you can send Morn and the Dabo wherever your opponent isn't.
Exactly.
Wow.
You see somebody coming over to your station on the Alpha Quadrant to try to take you out, and you just beam them over to the Alpha Quadrant, or the Mirror Quadrant, and hide out there.
But did you have a copy of Quarks on both sides?
No.
Okay.
You can still only have the bar, you know, you can still only have six sites total, so I didn't want to lose too many mirror sites, so I took out the pad. I added a pads and a cargo bay for DS9 so I could download Morn through the cargo bay. And you have to have a pads for some reason, or not a pads, but you have to have some kind of docking site.
Right.
And then I just beamed them away. But most of the time I didn't even need it, because two of my three opponents were playing DS9 anyway.
Sure. So if two of your three opponents were playing DS9, that means they were hanging around in the Bajor region, and you were pretty much free to just pick them off at will.
I was.
That's pretty rough, too.
It was. It was one of those, oh man, this is going to be rough. And I know, both of those games are games I wish we had had the extra 15 minutes to play an hour 15-minute game and see how it would have rounded out, because they were both pretty close, and they were both, I edged TK 60-64 because of mission points, because of the intermix ratio. He had made me lose a bunch of points with Hire the Fuhrer, and he had tons of bonus points. But they topped out at 30 because you only had one mission done, and I managed to get two out.
Interesting.
I, man. And I pulled one of those. You ever had one of those moments where you see something cool on a card that you've never seen happen before and you've always wanted to see happen, and even though it's probably not a good idea, the circumstances have aligned such that you could do a certain text on a card, and you're like, yeah, sure, we'll try it, just so we can use that game text for once. And yeah, that was a bad idea. hit Ferengi Infestation.
Oh,
at the spot where his where we had DS9, and I was like, oh sure, I can get two Ferengi, I can put them over there, I'll just beam them back. And I had just watched him play the 2E version of Pharrell or Maruk or whichever one that downloads just like old times. And it was just dumb. I was like, well, I'll get two Ferengi. Even if he goes over and kills them, I'll get to download two more Ferengi.
Sure.
Because Mr. Quark, Mr. Rom, etc. And I'll still get what I want, two free guys. Except that it also gave him 15 points.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I've ever used Ferengi Infestation for that. It's because it's a 50 cunning wall.
Yeah.
Well, you went on to be undefeated in the tournament, and you won, correct?
I did. I apparently narrowly defeated Johnny, since he had two full wins and one loss to me. I had two timed wins out of my three wins, so we had the same number of victory points. But it came down to differential. 20 years, 7 year rich. And when it pawn fuzzy, try to make me his bitch. Well, I may or may not have to force my wife, but I damn sure pulled the plug on my daddy's life. And 2 months later, well, they found a cure. I'm just an old country doctor on a damn 5 year tour.
Right on. Well, let's see. We had Carlos, Chris, and Carlos Maya, Chris Nadi, and Ryan Hill coming down from Santa Barbara. So we'd like to thank them for making the trip out, and we should be reciprocating, not this weekend, but the weekend after.
Yes. I saw Carlos was playing some Romulans, and if I heard correctly, I think Ryan was playing Borg.
Yes.
He seems to be, it sounds like he is a, takes after you in that he is quite the Borg nut.
Well, we've had 2 1E tournaments here, and he's played Borg both times. So. And oddly enough, I haven't played Borg either time, so I really need to take my Borg deck out of mothballs and show him how it's done.
Rival Hive.
Well, you know, it's one of the decks that I actually know how to play well, and I can win with, which doesn't seem to be the case for anything I've played recently. So. It is definitely on my list of things to do. Actually, what I was thinking about doing was trying to use that new Ferengi counterpart, which would have been hilarious in the first round because my opponent was playing Ferengi.
Not this week, but last week, I seriously thought you were going to bust that out when I was playing Ferengi, and I was just like waiting for Brunt of Borg to show up and make my day sad.
It's just that there's just not much you can do with him, so... Too bad. I mean, he's got some interesting skills, but it's the same reason I haven't used one unit of Borg. He just doesn't do that extra thing like Gowron of Borg or even Tomalak of Borg, let your ship cloak. You know, just something interesting.
Right. No flavor.
Yeah, too bad.
Well, moving to the second half of the day, or I guess the second third of the day, we had 11 people for our 2E tournament, you got to play in that?
I did, and I did a lot better. Actually, going into the last round, I was undefeated on the day.
Nice!
Since I quit after one round in the first tournament.
Well, yeah.
So that everyone else could play. So Johnny took the bye in the first tournament, and I played that round, and then I dropped so that we'd have an even number. With 11 people, I figured, you know what? I'll just pass the bye around. That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, seriously.
I take that back. You know what? We started out with 10 people because Jake didn't show up until about halfway through the round.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Jake is a player who used to play with us in San Diego all the time and has since gone to school up in Santa Barbara and is now going to school in L.A., I believe.
I think that's right.
Yes. So he came back down, kind of getting back into the game. He played kind of an old school DS9 deck. And he, since he had a bye the first round, since he came in late, I just gave him the bye. And a loss in the second round, I ended up being paired up with him. And he beat me. My first two rounds I played against Chris again. And I believe it was Carlos. I think I played Carlos first. And narrowly edged them out. I was playing a deck that used Earth DS9, an awful lot of telepathy, non-aligned people, and holding cell. That was pretty much the whole thing. Do two easy telepathy missions, play a couple holding cells, and then throw your people at a 40-point mission and hope you solve it. And if you can, great. If not, there were actually a bunch of captain and ship pairs and a couple of deploy the fleets, so that could be a strategy. Yeah, they did work.
They do have a lot of cheap captain pairs.
Yeah. It didn't work ever. For some reason, especially in that last game, boy, I don't know, Jake, for all the luck that I had in my first two games, I was hitting people with moral choice. I must have played Gomtu 6 times in the first two games. He just kept coming back and popping up at exactly the right time. Every one of my Astromechers people died in like the first attempt, and my 240 pointers, one was 3 Astrometrics and the other was Astrometrics and a bunch of stuff that also died.
Oh man.
So I was just drawn for like the last, I think I had a Sulu left in there to match the Excelsior. I just never saw him. So he played well. He played the cards he needed and he beat me in the last round. And that actually made him edge me out for third place in the tournament. So congrats to Jake. I'm looking at the results here. I see TK1 going undefeated in 3 rounds. Johnny came in second, Jake came in third, I came in fourth, and Chris came in fifth. The other guy that showed up, Brian, one of our newer 2E players, he got 6th, Carlos got 7th, Matt Kirk got 8th, TV got 9th, 10th, went to Ryan Hill. And after your performance in the 1E tournament, I'm sorry to say that.
That's right.
That's a well.
I used up all my luck, as it would seem. I had been thinking about trying this deck. Actually, this card. I've been wanting to try to find a way to use this card since it came out. It's called Leverage. I think it came out in Raise the Stakes or one of the earlier virtual sets. And basically, the idea is it's a 2-cost event. Whenever one of you guys is about to be killed by a dilemma, you can instead choose to let your opponent put them in the brig.
Oh, is that from Genesis?
Maybe. No, it's not. It's a picture of Krug, from Star Trek 3, but it's not from Genesis. It's from, it might be Undiscovered Country.
Okay.
Or something like that. But, you know, I just always like, oh, man, that would be so funny if somebody's playing a kill deck. You just capture, and then drop a, you know, next turn you drop a rescue prisoners
and
get everybody back and go attempt again. And as I've been boggling my mind for years, I guess it's been now a year and a half since that card came out, just trying to find a way to work it. And in the meantime, my wife and I have gotten into this show that some of you may watch called Leverage that is awesome, and everybody should be watching it. It's basically a cross between Robin Hood and Ocean's 11. These thieves that have so much money that they don't feel the need to thieve anymore, so they rob from the rich and give to the poor, etc. And so I thought it would be hilarious to build a thief deck that uses leverage.
Okay.
And build. So I kind of was working on a theme that was totally not Star Trek. It was like a Star Trek crossover, and I was in my own happy little world making this deck and imagining this show, and it was by no means really a tournament worthy deck. And I probably should have saved it for a different tournament. But like you said, our friend Brian, who plays occasionally, he's been more intermittent, and I knew he was going to come this week, and he's the only person I knew who was coming that actually watches the show, so I was, like, hoping to get to play it against him. I brought the I kind of built the old Barand deck, so it wasn't a true thief deck. It was more of a treachery, half thief deck.
Okay.
So, you know, I get my guys out, and I drop leverage, and I go to planet first. And it's like, you know, with the whole,
oh, right,
bring on the necessary execution, and what, and then I rescue him back, and, you know, you get through the mission with Baran, and get your artifacts, and then the two space missions are a breeze. And when I could get to my two space missions, they were, in fact, a breeze, but I didn't get that far very often. I might have maybe been a little too focused on making sure I could get leverage out.
Did you put Wesley Crusher in the deck?
I did not. I wish I had thought of that until you just mentioned it. That would have been fantastic. Oh, I can't believe I did not think of that.
Well, see, that's why you didn't win.
That's clearly, and now I'm going to have to fix it. I know what I did wrong, and now I'm going to come back. And for those of you who don't get the joke, Will Wheaton has guest starred on Leverage a couple of times as a bad guy. So yeah, I was using DS9 Mouth of the Wormhole, but now I think I might have to switch over to Earth so that I can get a Wesley Crusher out and throw him in there.
He's the cadet Wesley. He's got the Earth icon, right?
Yeah. Ah, that's fantastic. I'm totally going
to switch it over to a cadet deck, because the cadets die like nothing.
That is true. They do, and they're pretty cheap.
You don't have to worry about any of the low cost killers, because you just rescue them next turn, and then you don't have to pay to play them.
Oh, that's a lot better.
No, not really.
Yeah, I really got hammered by just random stops, and it was a fun idea. You know, I got worn out and was drawing cards and bustling, and it was entertaining, but in the end, not very successful. But it's one of the most fun times I've ever had coming in last place.
Well, you know what? You win a tournament later on in the day. You have fun all day. How can you argue with that?
Exactly. So I was more than, once I won the 1E tournament, I was more than happy to just, you know, fool around with my little leverage deck and see how it went.
Well, we should say that Johnny played his Bajoran deck, which he hasn't linked yet, but I'm going to guess it's going to start with Big Fat.
as is tradition.
It's highly likely. And TK came in first place playing Damage Starfleet with tons of event prevention and just all the good stuff that Damage Starfleet brings. Did you get to play him?
I did not.
Yeah, neither did I.
Going
into the last round, he, Johnny, and I were all undefeated. So since we're only playing three rounds with 11 people, there was a possibility of it coming down to strength of schedule. But luckily, I was kind enough to lose, so we didn't have any problems.
No, I played played TV in the first round, and he was playing a modified version of his Dominion deck. His one of the few people I know who plays the Vorta Dominion with all of the gunboat diplomacy and, you know, scoring points. And it was hilarious because we kind of started off exactly the same way the last time I played against him, where I was like, well, I don't want you to download cards. I want you to I'll score the points instead. And I guess that's what hosed him last time we played, is he kept getting deck clogged because I wasn't letting him download any of his Jem'Hadar. Well, this time he came out completely prepared for me to give him points. He was using Endangered and At What Cost, and, you know, he spent 28 points on his, like, third turn because we had all, you know, I kept giving him all these points for playing Vorta, and he burned them all with At What Cost. And yeah,
nice.
It was funny. He totally turned around, and I just could not get through my first mission because of all of his dilemma manipulation.
Oh. Yeah. That's just what he
needs. Matt was my second round. He was playing Ferengi-ish, Ferengi Thieves, the old Mirror Quark, Harad Tsar trick.
Oh, my. Okay.
And, you know, downloading a bunch of guys, and it was hilarious. He hopped on, like, both of our second turns were Galen and Morn. And I started drawing cards with Morn. He's like, oh, okay. So he flew his Morn over to my DS9. because he was playing Franganar and started drawing cards. He's like, man, you're the second DS9 player I've played. And I was like, oh, wow, I can't believe you're getting this bonus out of two games. He's like, oh, man, I didn't even think about doing that last game. I guess his Morn had not come out and he didn't think to go get it. But I just barely edged Matt out. He had a big push right at the end, and I was able to hold him off and of his mission attempt and then get one of mine in. And then Ryan's Tui Borg this time managed to... after we just talked about this, I think it was in the chat rooms, we were talking about how bad the affiliated dilemmas are.
Yeah.
And in particular, the Borg one, it's just like, you know, unless you get really lucky with a bunch of filters and there's only a couple guys left, it's so easy to get past. And he hit me with like four guys left. And of course, assimilated Jean-Luc Picard Galen, which I still...
Nice.
Bugs the crap out of me that you can have Locutus of Borg and assimilate a Galen or a Picard. The first time I used it, I couldn't get it up for weeks. Now my tricorder's busted and sickbay just stinks. I guess I'll just go replicate me a drink. Well, I may or may not have to force my wife, but I damn sure pulled the plug on my daddy's life.
You know, I think it was Jake. Well, maybe it was Ryan. One of our non-regulars said, "You know, I was complaining about the same thing." And he said, "The way he thinks about it is that's not Jean-Luc Picard as Locutus. That's just a random counterpart. That could be anybody. It happens in this case to be Locutus."
You mean like a universal counterpart?
It's a generic counterpart.
Like you know, Ensign Ricky.
Like
counterpart Ricky.
If they assimilated if Tui was going to do a Tomalak of Borg, it wouldn't be Tomalak of Borg, it'd be Locutus of Borg. Tomalak.
Okay. So just anybody who got assimilated to be a counterpart would be Locutus?
Yeah.
That's an interesting excuse. Yeah.
I think interesting is exactly how I put it too.
Yeah. That's an interesting interpretation. Yes. I still think it's totally bogus.
All right, very good.
Well, you can't assimilate my Fed 7 of 9 while you have your 7 of 9 out.
Anika.
Yeah.
That's
right.
I didn't say it was a good theory. I thought
Take
it was
that,
interesting.
Borg players. In your crazy assimilation theories.
Since we had 12 people show up for Tribbles, we split into two pods of 6 and then declared that the top 3 players from each table would go on for the championship round, and then there would be a consolation round as well. We got paired up in the same first pod, which is a thing that happened at Worlds like 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, and you know, honestly, it ended up almost exactly the same way.
Yeah, I think I went out once or twice. I got poisoned and antidoted and went out for another couple. I ended up with like 650,000, which was good enough to win the first pod.
And I skated by on poisoning people. Big money here, big money there, and it was enough to take second, I think.
Yeah. In the second pod, Chris from Santa Barbara scored 845,000, which was a lot in 5 rounds of play. Johnny and TK also got a couple hundred thousand apiece. I'm guessing TK was probably very poisoned. Maybe Johnny went out once. Looking at the numbers, they're pretty random, so I'm guessing each of them might have gone out, and Chris went out 3 times for big points. And in the championship round, I don't know what I got open here. It was me, Johnny, TK, Brian, and you, and Chris from Santa Barbara.
Yes.
And I think I went out once for 300,000 in the first round, and then, or maybe I got antidoted or something, because I had 3,015. And then Johnny went out for, like, the rest of the game. And he ended up winning with 600,000, 685,000. So congrats to Johnny for winning, skating in, apparently, in the first pod, and in the championship winner's bracket. And in the lower pod, Carlos took it with 358,000, narrowly beating Jesse, one of the last players to show up, the second place at Worlds 2 years ago. So 358,000 to 340,000. That's about 2,000 dribbles there. No, that's about 18,000 dribbles there. And then Matt came in at 314,000 after that. So like 40,000 dribbles, first, second, and third. Pretty close.
Nice. Close game.
Yeah. And by then it was like 9 o'clock, and we had decided we had enough Arby's. So we kind of stayed in chat for a little while, and eventually they threw us out.
Yeah, that was an interesting night, and I was curious when we went. We stopped at three rounds for 2E. We usually go three rounds, 1E, 2E, and then four rounds of 2E as the main event, and then tribbles tagged on at the end. But we had so many people for tribbles, it was good that we had that extra time to tack that extra the two heats, and then. Yeah, and be able to have the finale round and the consolation round together, because if we hadn't, we would have butted up right up against closing time, and it would have been a flurry trying to get out of there, which is
kind
of always uncomfortable. So it was nice to finish in plenty of time and get to say hi to everybody, do some trading, and thank everybody for coming out and, you know, get to socialize a little bit.
So this was about 45 minutes of us talking about our tournament. We haven't had anyone email us tournament results in about a year. So
clearly that means we are the only ones having tournaments.
Yeah, apparently.
In the world.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to declare that we should just have Worlds here. San Diego. Everybody come out and we can report about it here. Because we're not hearing about anything else, I guess.
If you have some results that you'd like us to talk about, or you would like to join us on the show and talk about, or you would like to record a small bit and send us so we could play, section31@danhamman, danhamman.com.
And after all of that, I'm sure you might think that we are quite out of intelligence for this evening, but... you would be incorrect. You would be, in fact, mistaken. Because we have not just a spoiler, although we do, but we have, intelligence. I hesitate to use the word corrections. I would say annotations.
Annotations, good word, yes. We have previously spoiled two cards from the upcoming set, I believe it's Extreme Measures. Coolant Leak and Quinn, and we have the collector's information for them now. Coolant Leak is 23V3, so it's the third card in the set, and Quinn is 23V25. The 25th card in the set will be Quinn, the Interrupt, I believe.
Let the prospective card lists begin. All right, in all likelihood, continue. Okay. Yeah. Speaking of which, to add to your perspective card list, this card is 23V16.
I'm going to say right away, don't like it. You know why?
There's already a card that kind of does this?
No, because it costs 5 and it's an event.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay 5 points for an event, 5 pounds for an event.
You don't want it to be blown up before you can do anything with it?
Yeah, there's too much prevention.
I completely agree. This is this seems to me like a whole lot of an investment for way too much time that it can be taken out from under you.
One caveat with that is if you get it on the first turn and it works like I think it works, a first turn, like a second turn at what cost would be pretty cool. So when we go with the one we say the text, what the text is.
Well, you still have to have the points to burn it, though.
Yeah, see, that is that.
That's the part that I think if it weren't for that part, I might consider it. But just so everybody knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, okay, go.
This is it's an event, as we said, 5 cost. It's called I Stand With My Shipmates, and it's a great shot from the end of Star Trek IV of Kirk leading in the the movie crew, the original series movie crew, to stand trial for having stolen the Enterprise, disobeyed orders, etc. And Spock is coming out of the stands, I guess, yeah, to come and join them where he stands trial with them. And the game text is "Plays in your core." Remember, this is 5 cost. "Plays in your core. When you are about to lose 5 points to pay the cost of a card you own, if you have 5 points, you may destroy this card instead of paying that cost." So you still have to have 5 points to be able to spend 5 points, to use anything that spends 5 points, much like anything right now. Instead, you can blow up this, which costs 5 counters. It's like a reverse... at what cost?
Sure.
Except I really don't like that you have to pay for it and then it just sits there like a big target. Shoot me!
I guess if you've got a party atmosphere and your opponent has 2 headquarters, you don't own, it's only going to cost you 3.
Yeah, when party atmosphere was non-unique and you had 3 of them out and you could throw this down, you know, maybe. But, you know, even like you were saying, if you throw out a Guinan, and, you know, you've got 5 points, you want to play this and then play an at what cost without having to lose the points, you're not netting yourself anything because you only get 2 more counters and you've had to draw those 2 cards and play them.
Well, okay, let's back up again. We've been told that the theme of this set is Necessary Evil 2. So there will be a lot of cards in this set, apparently, that will deal with spending 5 points to do something cool. So perhaps there will be enough other things that if you do not want to... Oh, it's actually not unique either, so you can play a couple copies of it.
Oh my god, I can't even imagine playing multiple copies of this.
Maybe there's something that lets you place a event in your core or something like that.
You know, yeah, unless there's something that lets you play this for free somehow... Or, you know, play, you know, for however many of X people you have, you get to make it minus cost, because otherwise this is just really hefty. And it's not, I mean, at what cost you have to lose 5 points and gain 7 counters, but, and it can be canceled, but it has to be something that cancels right now. You have to have it out on the table or in your hand, and it has to be ready to go. This, you know, just sits there, and if you don't use it right away, your opponent can, you know, dig... you know, play something later to cancel it, or, you know, use one of their order events to order abilities to cancel it. Oh, man.
Well, okay. Did you play this with your Equinox guys? If you were, you know, if you're late in the game, when your guys are out, you don't have much to spend counters on, and you're out of nucleogenic cards...
I don't think so. I mean, you know, you can usually, I've actually, when I play that, you know, I can occasionally get away with actually losing the points if I need to once or twice. And the interrupts are cycle pretty well. I don't know, you know, the problem with that is that the guys are expensive. You have to draw them and get them out, and you know you need to do it quickly. That's part of their downside. That's why you need to use things like Good Shepherd and find ways of cycling them quickly. I mean, I guess if you were using something like Morik, and you just needed to have high cost events,
okay,
or Tongo.
Put this in your Gorgon deck just so I can have another high cost card.
Sure. You know, man, I don't know. I feel like we're missing some context here. Because
if you know the context that we don't, please send an email to section31@danhammond.com.
No, seriously. I mean, if we're missing something that I was thinking context of the set, like there are going to be more cards that make it seem like this card's more playable. But if there's an affiliation or a method of playing this in existing decks and we're not seeing it, let us know. I would love to see what you think you would play this in.
Yeah, how are you going to implement this card once it comes out? I'm looking forward to hearing.
In the meantime, the lore for this card is a laundry list of events, offenses, rather. Conspiracy, assault on a Federation officer, theft of Federation property, namely the Starship Enterprise, sabotage of the USS Excelsior, willful destruction of Federation property, specifically the aforementioned USS Enterprise, and finally, disobeying direct orders of the Starfleet commander.
Well, you know what I like? The actual event is like two lines. It's not horribly complicated. You know what it does, you do it, and make it happen.
I do like that.
Not a lot of ambiguity.
I like the concept of it. As far as, you know, the image and the context of the crew standing trial, it's a nice mirror. The fact that it's kind of similar but different to At What Cost is a nice mirror. Sure. To, you know, they lose Spock and they get Spock back, and now Spock is standing with them to face the consequences of those actions. That is really cool conceptually. Mechanically, I'm not convinced yet.
All right. Well, I believe that should wrap it up then.
It definitely should. I'm not only out of intelligence, but I'm running out of voice.
Yeah, both of us talked an awful lot last weekend, and we're both recovering.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a Phoenix tournament if you all didn't get treated to my patented Janeway impersonation, which was coming on pretty strong when my voice got pretty hoarse late that night. But let me tell you, it's not something that you want to have to endure more than every other year. In the meantime, we're going to wrap this up with some intelligence that we have given you, or intelligence that we've already given you. Clearly running out of intelligence now. We'll give a shout-out and congratulations both to TK for winning the tournament and for putting this show together, and a thanks to Warp 11 for their, once again, really awesome thrashing Warp 11 theme song. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will draw 98 cards to end.
Closing in.
Yeah.
But Jim is the captain of this here ship. We call her the Enterprise and the crew's pretty hip. Yeah, the girls all wear go-go boots and mini skirts. And I spend my days patching all the red shirts.